Job ready? Employer says yes. This program is presented by Eduvate, education and innovation. There's been a lot in the press and social media recently about internet security. Surprising to some of you, no doubt, BlackBerry is a major force in the security of data. To discuss the implications for young people, I caught up with James McDowell at BlackBerry's London offices. Hi there, it's Jonathan Brill and I'm in BlackBerry in the centre of London. Magnificent Art Deco building, echoes of the past. But I'm not sure we're going to be talking about the past today. We're going to be talking about the future. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Okay. Tell me, what is it that you do in BlackBerry?
So I'm one of the directors in the cybersecurity division at BlackBerry. I look after a number of different regions across the world. I help develop opportunities with clients where clients have a particular security issue or they have concern about something around security or their digital infrastructure. And we will help them with a number of different services to try and plug those gaps.
So you're a cybersecurity expert. You're not the guy who sells phones. What does BlackBerry have to do with phones, devices these days?
So BlackBerry's made a fundamental shift over the last 2 years. So we no longer do devices.
Right.
And I think that's what we were always well known for. But the reality of it is what made that device secure is the software that was on it. So you can effectively today have that secure software, but on any device. And that device extends to wearables, to watches, to glasses. It can be on an Android phone, an Apple phone. It really doesn't matter. The software can go anywhere.
So we are talking here about security, which is your area of expertise.
Correct.
Now, cybersecurity is a hot topic. People are discussing it everywhere. Maybe not everywhere they should, but in a lot of different places. Why is it such a hot topic now?
Well, I think for many years, people always saw cyber as, oh, it'll never happen to me. That, you know, I don't have anything that people want to steal. And I think as people of different companies from different verticals started to get hacked, people started to realize that actually it is a concern. And where there is a lot of value in selling people's data. It doesn't have to be a credit card number. It doesn't have to be particularly financially orientated. It could be about disrupting a competitor, stealing a competitor's client database, understanding what their pricing model looks like. So there are a myriad ways that cyber crime can benefit an individual.
So we are talking about bad guys versus good guys.
Correct.
And this podcast is going out to predominantly good guys.
Yep.
That is, we're not going to tell the bad guys how to do it better. We're going to try and tell the good guys how to protect themselves.
Correct.
Is it an everyday issue for young people?
Absolutely. You will see that a lot of the breaches that we see today start with gathering information from social media. And especially, you know, young people are probably have the highest demographic of anyone using social media. And you don't realize the footprint that that leaves. I mean, you would be amazed at what we could find with somebody's name and mobile number.
Really?
And the information that is out there just on those two pieces of information.
Just give me an example.
So we could, we do a lot of work around this where we may have limited information. We could then start to, because you've left, you may have filled in a form online, you may have put something in a blog somewhere, and we collate all that information by doing particular search terms, but we don't search just on the internet. The internet, that as we know it, is one of the smallest parts of the internet as a whole. You then have the deep web, and the deep web is where things like our bank details are stored. And then you have the dark web, where our bank details are bought and sold. And we search across all of those. And we can, from that, we can start to make links, say from a mobile number to a person, to their address, to their social media profile, and then we start to build up much more detailed information. Interestingly, we did an experiment where we set up a false Facebook profile, and we started contacting people, and we wrote code that would invite people to be friends. And within 2 years, we had 1,400 friends, and this was an entirely false profile. So people don't ask enough questions. It's fundamentally about we are too trusting. Our human nature is to be trusting, and hackers exploit that.
So the hackers are the bad guys, and sometimes they do it just for the hell of it.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they do it in order to make financial gain.
Correct. So there are a number of different, what we call attack vectors. So you've got a script kiddie, and that might be a young guy in his bedroom that's just playing around, seeing what he can do. And that may go all the way up to corporate espionage, where, or nation state, where a particular nation might have a group of hackers that will try and hack into the defenses of another nation state and steal information. So long gone are the days where we have to have spies on the ground to exfiltrate information. We can do that now digitally.
So let's have a look at ways in which different scales of protection can be mounted. So if you're a young person with a mobile phone, wandering on to that small part of the internet that you were talking about, what tips can you give them about how to behave?
Okay, so first and foremost, let's talk about passwords. And I'll give you some kind of guidelines around that. If you have a 4-character password, we will probably crack that in about 30 seconds. 6 characters, probably, I don't know, 5 minutes, up to 8 characters and beyond, you're starting to really push the amount of time it takes to breach that password. And our recommendations are always that, you know, people complain that it's difficult to remember a password. Well, a very good password is to have 3 different simple words with a gap in the middle. So it might be dog, cat, bone. And that gives you a multi-character password with the space in between. And actually, that's quite a sophisticated password. So that's the first place to start, a good, strong password.
And then, what else should they be doing?
Well, awareness, I think, is the key thing. Identifying emails that look suspicious. Because, let me give you an example that if I have a very strong password, a hacker will need to find another way to get at my riches, if you like. And what they can do is they can create, let's say, 2 million malware emails. And that email will look like it comes from your bank or someone you know or trust, and it will have a link in there. And as soon as you click that link, there is a couple of things that could happen. It will take you to a website that looks like the one you expect to be on, but actually it's been created by the hacker. And when you type in your username and password, they are seeing that information. It could download keylogger code, so it captures every single keystroke you type, i.e. username and password. So, and I think something like 80% of hacks come through some kind of phishing email.
That's phishing with a PH.
With a PH, yes.
So what is it that a low-level organizations like schools should be doing with their pupils in order to raise this level of awareness? And then we will come on to what at a higher level should organizations, larger companies, government organizations and so on be doing. So let's start with the schools. What should they be doing in order to inculcate better behaviours in their pupils?
Well, I think fundamentally security should form part of the curriculum. They have, you know, there are most of, my son is 8 years of age and he has ICT classes. I think as part of that process, there should be much more awareness for children about security. I mean, you know, that's really where they start to learn the importance of it. You know, they see phones and gadgets as purely a way to enhance their life. They don't ask questions about what are the implications of using that device? How should I be using that device sensibly? So I think that the education piece needs to come first. And then obviously schools need to ensure that their own networks are tested to make sure there are no vulnerabilities in there, that the kind of applications they're using within the school are also secure, particularly if they've been bought from a third party supplier.
And it sounds like an old teacher warning should go out rather than just the ICT department.
Absolutely. And also the schools really have a responsibility because, you know, we appreciate that a teacher's number one priority is to deliver the best knowledge they can to their pupils. And that's their entire raison d'etre, if you like. Now, it may be that teachers are accessing information to use in class from multiple different sources. Do we know that those are trusted sources? Do we know that those sources aren't delivering vulnerabilities into the school network? So it's important that the teachers are educated by the school as well.
School pupils effect a transition from school into the world of work, perhaps through higher education, perhaps not, might go into an apprenticeship or something else. What should these organisations be doing, seeing this influx of young talent coming into their organisation, but perhaps blundering into areas where they ought not in terms of security?
Well, again, you know, the whole security education piece doesn't end when you leave school. And that should then transfer into whatever role you go into. And there should be continuing policies, you know, and any organisation, whether it's a school or whether it's a bank or, you know, a retailer, it doesn't matter. They still have data that needs to be protected, and the people that exist within that network are equally responsible for managing that data. So again, policies around the use of social media, policies around the use of mobile devices, how it's used, how data is accessed. These are all continue to be fundamentally important to the overall security of a business. You know, if you think that a business could spend millions and millions of pounds protecting their network by using technology, but if one person falls for a phishing email and gives away their username and password, it undoes that in the blink of an eye. Wow. So the people perspective is, I believe, actually more fundamentally important than the technology piece.
BlackBerry then has a role to play in this educational process, if you like.
Mm. Well, BlackBerry have actually come about it in a way that I think is the most appropriate, where you actually remove the security onus from the person to the device. So regardless of how the person uses that device, if they're using the BlackBerry software, that kind of covers the security for you. It doesn't require you to ask the questions you should, because if it sees something that actually it doesn't like, it can flag it up for you. So, and I think that's really where we need to get to bridge this single point of failure where someone clicks on a malware link. We need to remove the security onus to a certain extent from the human factor and allow technology to cover that for them.
So we talked about how young people's learning continues from school and on into business, and BlackBerry have a set of policies and processes around mobile learning. Could you talk about that a bit for us?
Well, mobile learning is becoming a huge topic. I think something like latest statistics say that I think 81% of students use mobile learning in one form or another. The way that the world is becoming, the kind of the digital transformation we're seeing, really opens up education to a much broader demographic. It means people are able to learn anywhere, at any time, but much more importantly, much more personally and much more focused. So rather than sitting in a classroom and having to absorb information of which 50% might be interesting to you, you can decide every single bit of information you absorb and make sure 100% of it is relevant to you. So I think it's a very big area.
And what role does BlackBerry have within mobile learning and developing its uptake?
Well, one of the most important things about delivering that mobile learning experience is that it can be delivered to multiple endpoints, and by endpoint I mean mobile phone or tablet or computer, it's got to be delivered securely. You've got to have confidence that if you're going to open up this arena to your students, that they can access it and you can have trust that they're accessing it in a secure manner. Because often, you know, who's to say that a student might identify a particular website that has something interesting that they would like to download. You've got to be able to control the security of that download. So that's really where BlackBerry would come into it.
There are views around which says that education generally is going to go the way of retail. That is, that a large proportion of the transactions will move from an offline situation into an online situation.
Absolutely.
But on the ground, to some educators, it doesn't appear as if it's moving particularly fast in that direction. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's, you know, let's remember that, you know, technology is a wonderful thing, but people have got to understand how to use it. And, you know, if you want to empower a teacher to use technology, you've got to ensure that there's that support network there that shows them how to use it, that shows them how to get the most out of it. But I do think that the education industry is really trying, and it's not for, I don't think it's from apathy. I think it's just understanding how to deploy it. And I read, interestingly, that a major university in London has been working with Google, and they've developed an app because I think they have 28 different buildings across the campus. For someone, a new teacher or a new student, it can be a daunting process. So they've created an app that will guide them directly to where their lecture is. They're building all the time, so there's lots of other resources that they can draw from. And while that's not necessarily in a particular educational context, it's still offering wider support to the student community.
So that's important within a particular university context, and if there's 150, 200 universities in the UK, each could develop its own app with Google or on their own, and we can understand that. But how is that process going to help the ones who are not at a university, have quit school and are not particularly happy with their apprenticeship and so on, the have-nots and those who don't have it? Could mobile learning play a role in that area?
Absolutely. But it's really important that if we're going to strive towards that, it's really important we consider how is that information delivered. So, and by that I mean that the content must drive the technology, not the other way around. And I'll give you an example of that.
Please.
So take 3D films. You know, this was, oh, we've got this technology, let's push it out there. But actually, the reality was the content wasn't great. And so it didn't really have an uptake. So the first thing to consider is, you know, the content is the most important thing. Do we have a medium to which we can deliver that content effectively? And we also have to be sure that it's answering students certain questions, like, if I use this resource, am I getting what I want out of it? Has it empowered me? Has it educated me in some way? Has it worked the way I expected it to work? Was it simple to use? So I think you've really got to start with the student mindset before you start delving into developing the technology.
We've been talking in general terms about mobile learning. We've been talking about cybersecurity. You are working in one of the world's most iconic brands, a name that's recognized throughout the developing and the developed worlds. What's it like working at BlackBerry?
Well, it's actually a really exciting time for BlackBerry because in many ways we are a business that has gone through a transformation. And it's, you know, I've always worked for kind of smaller startup businesses, and that's a very exciting time to be part of a company. And there's a sense of feeling of that at BlackBerry, that we have a much more solid foundation, and we have some really, really innovative and exciting new products. So it feels like this is a new business to a certain extent that is really looking at innovative ways to protect anything that's connected to the network. And that's really if we look at the onset of IoT and the way that IoT is being developed, BlackBerry are really positioning ourselves to control that network securely.
So if a young person is thinking, maybe I could work for BlackBerry, what is it that you're looking for in that young person?
It's the approach. And I've always strongly believed this, that if someone has a certain desire and a belief and a passion for something, then the experience that they might have in that particular field, I think, is secondary. Obviously, we're looking for very skilled people, but, you know, it's the belief in and the enjoyment of a particular area. And obviously across BlackBerry, there are multiple different departments. So there is the engineering team where they develop new products. There is the software team that looks at different ways that we can use our software to deploy across different use cases in different scenarios. You've got the cybersecurity team. So we actually test the security to make sure that it is what BlackBerry would expect it to be.
As a career, as something you want to do, is that something which is not very big, not very well paid? Tell me about the job situation.
Well, first of all, I think the global statistics state that there are something like 1 million cybersecurity jobs unfilled. And you may think that's because no one wants to do it. Quite the opposite. There are just not the resources and the skills out there. And as such, it's an incredibly well-paid job. In the company that I work for, that BlackBerry acquired, we would take on young students, probably 18, 19 years of age, as penetration testers. And within a couple of years, they were earning 50, 60, 70,000 pounds.
So that's not having gone to university?
Some of them hadn't gone to university. We put them through our own training courses.
And do you see that as a pattern for the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you consider that the way technology is moving, it's all about management of data. And as I say to my son, you know, it may not be the sexiest job in the world, but if you want to make a lot of money in the future, be a data scientist or something around data analytics, the way data is harvested. But, you know, if you want to be a bit more creative than that, there are a huge number of different roles that are opening up as technology grows. So I would wholly support people having a look at technology, in particular cybersecurity, as a career choice.
So what's the worst thing someone could do at interview when they're attending BlackBerry?
My one would be lack of research. I think it's super, super important that if you're coming to an interview, you understand what that business is doing, what their strategy looks like, what sectors they're working in, where are they strong. I think it's important to come to an interview with an opinion on that.
And what's the best thing they can do?
Probably the same, probably lots of research. I think it's really important to show a company that you have invested some time in understanding it. You've not, because I think the impression it gives if you haven't done that is that this is probably just one of 10 interviews that you've got going on that week. So I think it's really important that you, and actually even before you apply for a position, understand what the company does. Is this something I'm interested in? There might be a particular thing on their website that really piques your interest. Focus in on that. Find a bit more out about it. Do your preparation.
We have had unique insights into the way BlackBerry works today. James McDowell, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
You'll find us online at eduvate.biz. Job ready. Employer says yes.